For the split sermon today, my friend Corey Pugliese.
You know, we had the 49ers, not the football team, their namesake, the 49ers of California, who flooded into California at the discovery of one thing, gold. And it all started with John Sutter, who paid a man, James Marshall, a laborer, to build a sawmill at Sutter's Mill. And gold was found there. Now, they tried to keep it quiet. This is 1849 or 1848 that they had discovered gold at Sutter's Mill. And they had both agreed to keep it quiet, but at some point it leaked out. And by 1949, the gold rush had begun. Men from around the world came to Sutter's Mill to strike their fortune, to try their hand at gold mining. People from Europe, all across the United States, people from South America, you name it, they flooded in to California to strike it rich on their own claim, to mine gold. And in 1948, there were 1,000 people in San Francisco. Man, how great of a place San Francisco must have been with just 1,000 people. But within 2 years, the population had exploded to 20,000 people in just 2 years. And, you know, the gold rush, it was in full swing. And before the mid-1850s, there were over 300 people, mostly men, that flooded into California in search of gold. You know, and gold has had a tremendous impact on California, as it does wherever gold is found. You know, when you think about civilizations and how they're affected by gold, think about the Aztecs. When the Spanish figured out that this people had gold, they were wiped out for their gold. The Aztecs, the Incas, countries of Peru, those Spanish adventurers or conquerors or looters, whatever you want to call them, they plundered those empires for their gold, for their gold. And gold plays a big part throughout the verses of the Bible. We can read from Genesis to Revelation, and the Bible speaks quite a bit about gold. Now, I like gold. I like it not because I think it's, you know, well, it's beautiful. It is beautiful. It has a beauty about it. And maybe it's because I know that there's value in it, but gold is really beautiful. And it's very, very valuable. And we as Christians are told to build with gold. We are told, the Laodicean church is told to buy it, buy gold. This thing that has great value, they're to buy it, build with it, buy it. And just in case you're wondering if it'll have any impact in the future, I would have to say yes. If you look at New Jerusalem, it will be made of gold. There will be a lot of gold in the New Jerusalem. Let's take a look at Genesis and look at some of these examples of gold in the Bible, and then draw a parallel for us. Genesis 2 and verse 11. Genesis 2 and verse 11. I've read the scripture and doing the study, and I can't say that I paid much attention to this verse, and it's kind of just wedged in here. Genesis 2 and verse 11 says, the name of the first is Phison. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Hillah, where there is gold. And the gold in that land is good. Why mention gold? Why mention gold? Must have some value, must have some importance. If we go to Genesis 13, just a few pages over, Genesis 13, when it talks about Abram, in verse 2 of Genesis 13, Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. When his wealth was mentioned, gold was mentioned. And if you look, Genesis 24, you want to turn over to Genesis 24, We see again in verse 22, Genesis 24 and verse 22. This is at the time when Abraham had sent his servant to find a bride for Isaac. And in verse 22, when he had found Rebekah, so it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold. He's giving gold. He found something of great value and he's showing its worth by offering gold, a reward of gold. Let's take a look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21. We talked about the New Jerusalem, so let's go ahead and just grab this really quick and read this one. Revelation 21 and verse 18. The construction of its walls was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. And drop down to verse 21. We read, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl, and the streets of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Pure gold. Now, I've worked for the city of Merced for a lot of years. Our roads are barely paved with, crummy asphalt. But could you imagine pure gold? I'd love to work in the street department in the kingdom of God. Would be awesome to be a street employee working with pure gold. I don't think you get many potholes. Could be wrong. Okay, and let's go back to Exodus 25. Exodus 25. Exodus 25. Again, with the gold. Exodus 25 and verse 31. We read, you shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be hammered work, its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs and flowers shall be of one piece. Pure gold. I went to look to see what this thing looked like, right? It's menorah, is the Jewish tradition says it's a menorah. Do you know how much that one lampstand weighed? What tradition says that one lampstand weighed? 66 pounds. Of pure gold. You talk about value. Wow, it's absolutely incredible. And I'm going to turn to one more before I, go completely gold crazy and get gold fever and speak of nothing but gold. But one more example here, and we'll look in First Chronicles. First Chronicles. First Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 22, and this is David in verse 14, giving instruction to his son and about the building of the temple and what was to be done. And he says, indeed, I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord, 100,000 talents of gold. 100,000 talents of gold. Now, I'm going to stop there. Silver's in there as well, and there's some stones in there. There's a bunch of stuff, but let's just stop and let's just talk about the gold. What is 100,000 talents of gold? How much money is that? Well, you're going to have to do a little bit of calculating because there are some differences here, but we're in the ballpark. When we break it down into cash, the gold that was to be used in the construction that David had, prepared for the construction of the temple, that amount of gold equaled 181 billion with a B, billion dollars worth of today's money. It's incredible. It's an incredible amount of gold. A talent of gold is anywhere, and this is where we get into some math, but we're talking about 66 pounds, roughly 66 pounds down to 57 pounds, depending on where you read. But you're talking about $181 billion in today's value, just the gold that was in the temple. So for perspective, I had Andrew contributed a little bit, but he brought this out. And this is a little vial of gold flakes that are pressed very fine. You can see you shake it up. It has a little bit of water in there, but that's gold. That's gold right there. I think that is $5. And then I brought a coin with me, and this coin is the only gold coin that I have. It's the only piece of gold that I have. And I kind of ended up with it at a raffle that I ended up purchasing it from a guy. And so it's the only piece that I have. This is a $2.50 1910 Indian head, a $2.50 piece, gold piece. And just for perspective, so David's, what he prepared for the temple is $181 billion. This is a mere $400. So I will pass this around if everybody promises to keep an eye on Albert. And Albert, you don't have to bite it. It is real. So it is incredible, the value of gold and what the great lengths of explaining gold in the Bible and why it's there. And that one little piece of gold is 4.18 grams of gold. And actually, that's just 90% because it's 10% of it is copper. So, but yeah, that's the amount of gold in that one coin. Not much, not much. So you say, well, that's all well and good, Corey. Heard a lot about gold, and gold has this great value. But what does that have to do with me? And what does that have to do with us as we sit here as Christians, you know, at services? Why talk about gold? Well, here is the connection to us and gold. God pictures the Christian character that we are building as gold, as gold. Let's take a look. 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 3 and verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So there's a foundation laid that we all build on, right? We all get to build on that foundation. But there's no other foundation that we can build on. Can't say, well, I don't like this foundation. I'm going to a different foundation. And, you know, merely by walking this way of life, we've all said that we will build on this foundation. In verse 12, we have material that is available to us. And we read that in verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. I want to stop just for a minute and talk about that. Three building materials that are lasting, that will last, that have value and will last. And three ordinary materials that don't have much value compared to the first three, that can all be destroyed, that can all fall apart and come to nothing. So you have gold, silver, and precious stones, and you have wood, hay, and straw. Those are our building materials. That's what we can build with. In verse 13, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's works of what sort it is. So whatever you're building on this foundation, whatever you're constructing on that foundation, and that foundation being Christ, it'll be revealed. Your character, your work, it will be revealed. And how will it be revealed? By fire, by the tests and the trials, the tribulations that you have in life, that everyone has. So then if we build with gold and silver and precious stones, we stand the test of the fire. But if we build with wood, hay, and straw, that fire consumes them, and there's nothing there. The tests and the trials of this life are likened to that fire. And that test of our character is revealed by that fire and what kind of material we chose to build with. In verse 14, if we do build with gold, silver, and precious stones, we find there is this addresses those of us who build with those materials. If anyone's works which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Wood, hay and straw do not endure fire. They don't endure fire. So if you are building with wood, hay, and straw, it'll all disappear with a fire. So it's saying, for those of us that have something after the fire is passed, if it endures, we will receive a reward. And in verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through the fire. So verse 15 addresses those that build with those three perishable materials, wood, hay, and straw. Any Christian who lacks and builds character that is easily shaken or destroyed by tests and trials is compared to one who builds with perishable materials. It's destroyed by fire. It's destroyed by fire. Let's take a look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1 and verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our high character, our faith, is more valuable to God than gold that is purified, pure as they can get it. You know, that 0.999, triple nines or 4.9 purity. They don't have purer gold than that. That's what they say the purest gold is. And it's saying that our faith, our character, our high character is more valuable, more precious to God than that fine gold. In Revelation 3 and verse 18, Revelation 3 and verse 18, that's, you know, to the individual who would seek this character of gold, that's what 1 Peter is talking about. It's telling us that that character, that faith that is built is valuable and is precious. And it's that individual that goes after that gold, goes after that character and builds with those precious materials that God is looking at and addressing them. In verse 18 of Revelation 3, we find a different individual, an individual who is self-satisfied, who's complacent, who's, you know, fine with the way that they are and their character that they have built. But in Revelation 3 and verse 18, to the lukewarm church, to the Laodicean era, to the lackadaisical approach to this way of life, God says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. So let's take a look at the properties and qualities that make gold so desirable. What makes gold so desirable? Well, I did talk a little bit about that. Obviously, it has great value, but gold is beautiful. I mean, we make all kinds of stuff from it. I have that gold coin. I don't take it out very often. Had to ask Sabrina in preparation for the message to, I have a gold coin, one gold coin. Could you find that for me? And I don't typically look at it. And I don't think it's necessarily something that, you know, is the best presentation of gold, because there are better presentations of gold, but gold has that soft yellow luster, but make all kinds of stuff from it. Earrings, you know, watches, bracelets, necklaces, rings. I have, you know, my wedding ring, you know, and it stands out. It's beautiful. It really is beautiful. And nothing is quite so attractive and desirable as jewelry fashioned from gold, high quality gold that by, you know, somebody who's skilled and crafted at making gold. So the gold has this beauty about it. And like wise Christians with spiritual gold, you know, that our character stands out to God. So just like gold stands out to us, and it can be made into beautiful things, beautiful jewelry or whatever the case may be, our spiritual character, if it is spiritual gold, that gold standard, it stands out to God. And what could be more attractive than a deeply converted, growing Christian who has unmatched qualities, these special qualities that are found in that type of individual. In Galatians 5 and verse 22, we're all quite familiar with these set of scriptures, but think of the character of an individual who has these 9 special attributes, right? It's a pretty special person. First, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Well, we've all run into people who have these character traits, and we seek to put them in our lives, and it's important to work on these 9 attributes. But if these 9 attributes are found in one person, wow, that person stands out. They really, truly stand out. And they may not stand out to you or I, but they stand out to who matters. They stand out to God. And the more fruit of God's Spirit abounds in our lives, the more golden our character becomes. It's the more we stand out to God and the more we stand out in His sight. So don't be like the builder that would build with perishable materials, just content just to get by, or think that I just want to make it into the kingdom. Just want to make it into the kingdom. We don't want to just make it into the kingdom, especially make it into the kingdom by the skin of our teeth. We want to make it by leaps and bounds, not sliding under the door that closes, or maybe missing it by just a, or making it by just a hair. We want to be able to make it into the kingdom of God fully, 100% standing up. And in order to do that, we must labor long and labor hard to develop that godly character. It's not easy. And that leads me to my next point about gold. It doesn't come easy. Gold doesn't come easy. That piece of gold, I did look it up, and it does have, it has increased quite a bit since I bought it, because I've had it for quite a while. But, you know, gold holds its value when money, the currencies of governments, will, you know, we have inflation right now, but that will end up holding its value. And you say, oh, well, it's gained in value. Well, it really hasn't gained in value. It still has the same amount. The dollar has lost in value. But that's why they call it the gold standard. So gold does not come easy, though. You know, when I bought that, that was a day, almost 2 days' wage for me. And so it was quite a sacrifice to buy gold. And in all of human history, and I'm not exactly sure how they came up with this number, but smarter people than I have come up with the number. But in all the world, all the gold that has been mined comes to, and obviously an estimate, 171,000 metric ton of gold. That's gold that has been dug out of the earth. And you think, well, that's a lot of gold. 171 metric ton. But if you were to cube it, you know, how big do you think that would be? 1,000 feet long, you know, 500 feet long? It's only 67 feet cubed, 67 feet on each side and 67 feet tall. All of the effort that has been put into gold, the mining of gold. Think about the 49ers, the Alaskan gold rush, the gold rush down in Australia, the gold that's mined in China, all around the world. And it's just a cube, 67 foot cubed. That's not that much gold for all the labor that's been put into it. That's not counting all the labor that went into stealing it from the guy who mined it, you know, as the Aztecs, you know, even more trying to get this finite resource. And it takes about, again, rough estimate, about 20 tons of ore. And you can't just go out in your front yard and start digging up your front yard. So Mary Beth, remind Albert of this. You can't just go out into your front yard and start digging up dirt. But there's a gold rich ore, but it takes 20 tons of ore to get 1 ounce of gold. So you think, well, that's not too much. Well, find 20 ton of gold rich ore. It takes years of preparation to mine gold. They may strip the land of millions of tons of dirt to get down to that ore. So 20 tons of ore for 1 ounce represents millions of tons of soil that has been moved and work that has been accomplished. And some miners are excavating ore 2 miles beneath the earth in Africa today. They're down inside the earth following veins of gold that are 2 miles beneath the earth. What did that take to get to? Well, I guarantee it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. It's a lot of work to mine gold. And gold mining and building Christian character requires a lot of work to succeed. It requires a lot of work. Philippians, over just a couple pages. We were left off there in Ephesians. And Philippians, the second chapter, Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That first part, you've heard it said, character is what we have when somebody is not looking. That's what he's saying. Your character is when I'm not here. And what do you do? It's hard work that is required for your salvation. It's hard work. Be about it. Let's turn over to Philippians 3, over another page, Philippians 3. We see an individual who is not going to squeak in by the skin of his teeth into the kingdom of God. He was all about mining this spiritual gold. That's Paul, Philippians 3 and verse 13. Philippians 3 and verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do forget, those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul was about the hard work of building character of gold, character of God. He was not shrinking back. He wasn't going to say, "Oh, well, I just want to make it. I just want to squeeze into the kingdom of God, getting in there just by the skin of my teeth." No, Paul was about the hard work. And we must be about the hard work of building character, godly character. Another attribute of gold. Gold is the craftsman's delight. Gold is a craftsman's delight. Gold is soft and it's malleable. If you bite down on that gold coin, it'll leave an indention in that coin. And they used to do this quite often because you had fake gold or fool's gold, or you had gold nuggets that they would find and they would try to pass them off as gold. And what did you always see? You saw this in the movies, but they did this all the time. They would bite down on it to see if it was real gold, because fool's gold would chip a tooth. But real gold was malleable. So much so that a pound of gold could be stretched. If it was stretched into a wire, it could be stretched 900 miles. 900 miles. What other kind of material is there on the earth that could be stretched 900 miles that wouldn't be so brittle, that wouldn't, you know, just break apart? It's incredible. And gold, like this gold here, I imagine this has been beaten down into flakes and then has kind of solidified back together. But gold can be beat so fine before it breaks. It's 3 millionths of an inch thick. You think, well, how thick is that? Well, it takes 3,000 sheets of 3 millionths to equal the 3x5 card thickness. That's cardstock. That's how fine gold can be machine down or press down before it tears or breaks. It's hard to believe. 3,000 sheets would equal the thickness of a 3x5 card. It's incredible. It's incredible how gold can be so pressed down. And if one of those sheets caught the little bit of a little breeze, it would blow away. That's how fine 3 millionths of a sheet of gold is. Light shines right through it. Shines right through it at that size. So we have, you know, this incredibly malleable material. You know, this is a craftsman's delight. It's not like glass. It's not like pottery that is brittle and will break. It's not like iron that is unmanageable, unworkable because it is so, so hard. Gold is not hard. But gold can be fashioned and craftsmen's desire it because of that quality. Well, God is our craftsman. God is our craftsman. And we are to become spiritual gold. What does that mean? It means we're to be yielded. It means we're to be humble. It means we're supposed to be receptive to his correction, receptive to his instruction, without resisting, without breaking, without shattering like glass, and without being so stubborn and hard like iron, but being malleable under the hand of God to his correction and to his instruction. We are to be molded to the character of God for his purpose to be fulfilled in our lives. Not for our purpose, but for his purpose. Let's take a look at Romans, the 6th chapter, Romans 6. It says, Romans 6 and verse 13, Romans 6 and verse 13, it says, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Someone who's malleable, someone who can be molded, not someone who's hard as iron or as brittle as glass, but someone who has the character of God that God can work with, someone who is receptive to his correction and instruction. And we see the perfect example of that in John, because we find the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, this incredibly powerful being. And what do we see him as? Hard as iron? No. Do we see him brittle as glass? No, we find him malleable in the hands of God, because we see him say in John 6, verse 38, John 6 and verse 38, it says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." We're to follow this example. This is a yielding being, a yielding a spirit that he has, humble, not seeking his own will, but seeking God's will. That's character of gold. That's the character of spiritual gold. And our opportunity to gain and grow in spiritual wealth, God offers us that today. Those that are willing to put forth the effort to develop godly character, he tells us, you know, what he thinks of us in Malachi. Malachi, a book that I turn to quite a bit more now. But a book that has great promises and that certainly has a lot of encouragement. Malachi 3 and verse 16. Malachi 3 and verse 16, it says, "Then those who feared the Lord..." These are the ones that are malleable. These are the ones that have that God's Holy Spirit and that golden spirit that God is looking for. "Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who meditated on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." That's the way God looks at those that are yielded and humble, those that have that golden spirit that God is looking for and looking for us to develop it. We have every opportunity now to do that. We must be about that work and doing that. And just as, you know, in 1848 and 1849, when they cried, you know, around the world, gold, gold. It's been discovered in California. And it rang out around the world in newspapers, you know, word of mouth. It rings out to us today. Not physical gold, but spiritual gold. And it's up to you. Go get it.